Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy TP Timeless. We are back in this kitchen. We are settled around this table. We got y'all for the next 60 minutes, locked and loaded with Sports City. It's a game three kind of Friday night. We got a big weekend ahead of us. The fight game has got a big question mark going on, but I ain't going to dip too much into these dishes. I done took off the blades and loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome back to the round table, y'all. Okay, the call number is 917-889-9592. You got to take 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. Like I said, happy Friday to everybody out there enjoying the start of their weekend. Big sport weekend. I can't even lie. The month of May is here. We are almost halfway, well, I want to say a month away from the halfway point of the year. Feeling some type of way, man. I got my brother with me calling out of the Virginia region of the United States of America. I have Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the round table. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good, my brother. I'm good.
Okay. So, we have a lot to jump into. Several situations that's going on across the board in every single sport. I mean, from the football game where Johnny Manziel has actually been approached going to court. Also, another situation going on in the baseball world today. I wanted to see how you felt in the mega matchup within the National League with your boys going up against the Cubs. This is getting interesting in itself as things start to fizzle out for the second month of the baseball season as well. And, oh, yes, like I said at the start of the show, it's a game three kind of Friday. Cleveland going into Atlanta up against the home Hawks and the San Antonio Spurs going up against the home team, the Oklahoma City Thunder. There's a lot to jump into. Tommy, first and foremost, I kind of want to do the hors d'oeuvres, if you will, or snack on something. Even if we want to call it a snack or just smack that dish and just throw it straight in the garbage. But I was actually notified by you that not only is Floyd Mayweather trying to make his way out of retirement, that there may be a potential fight with him and Conor McGregor. Now, two different style of fighters. You got one that's a mixed martial arts type of fighter. You got one that's a born boxer, in which both of these guys will see mega paydays, and this is before the purse, after the gate and, you know, pay-per-views, so on and so forth, gets involved. Your thoughts on the situation, I kind of want you to stress more into the ordeal also of the potential situation of at least Floyd coming out of retirement. I don't know if they will try to make this happen, but your thoughts on everything that's gone on thus far.
Yeah, by what I've read, I've researched, I've done, it's supposed to be a boxing match. Well, that's not a shocker, because we all know Mayweather's not going to get in an octagon. I mean, hell, he dances around in a ring and jabs here and there and runs around the ring the rest of the day. So we all know damn well he's not going to actually get in and actually fight somebody. There is no – I do not understand. I do not know why this would even happen. This is the most thing I've ever heard in my life. Because I'm telling you, I'm the last person to take up for McGregor. I can't stand his cocky ass. His ass got knocked out already. Or made tapped, excuse me, and get knocked out and get tapped. He would kill Mayweather if he got a hold of that little glass jaw. He'd break his jaw if he could catch him. That's the only thing. This is a joke. One, get in the ring and fight in a boxing ring. Stay where you belong. The other one, get in the damn octagon and then fight your damn, put your title up against Frankie Edgar or whoever. This is the most dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. This is like that stupid shit that they talked about when Floyd Mayweather and Ronda Rousey. We all knew that wasn't going to happen. I don't see this happening. If it does, it's a big money scheme for pay-per-view. That's all it is.
Now, I agree with you if these two were to end up going at it, which when you sent me the information and told me about it, I laughed, and I know you see me laugh at it because I'll let you continue to eat. Now, I laughed when I first saw it because it's like, okay, I agree with you, Tommy. If they were in the octagon, Conor would have his way with Floyd because he gets to use every angle. He gets to grapple. He gets to use his legs. He gets to, you know, whatever he's comfortable with while in his fighting form, you know. But knowing that Conor is that type of guy that kind of, you know, puts himself out there and wants to, you know, kind of call the media out or call people out in the fighting venue, so on and so forth, for him to actually try and go into something that he just picked up a few years ago, you know what I'm saying, and in a fighting form. I didn't want to, like, compare mixed martial arts with boxing, but knowing that already, like I said, before the gate gets involved, I mean, that's from ticket sales to pay-per-view to merchandise, so on and so forth, they're saying that this could be the biggest payday for Conor, getting, I think, over $14 million, if I'm not mistaken. The number couldn't be higher or lower. From what I was told, that's where the number could be in the ballpark, where Floyd is already pushing the nine-digit envelope, and they're saying that it could be anywhere from over $140 million for these guys to fight. Now, this would, I think, definitely build up on, and this is where I like it, and I see where you're coming from with it, Tommy, is this would build up both fighting forms. UFC, Conor McGregor, probably one of, I'm not going to say the, but one of the bigger names in the fighting form, even though he just lost his last fight, you still got to respect Conor McGregor's name at the end of the day. And y'all know me, I'm going to be biased. I'm a Floyd Mayweather diehard. Floyd Mayweather just stepped away from the sport, and even with him stepping away from the sport, he's still probably the most talked about boxer in the sport. Still. So I see this as an opportunity for Conor McGregor not only to try and, you know, make it seem like he's making a jump from one venue to the other, but I know definitely that these guys have had verbal spats and Floyd calling McGregor, you know, different names and so on and so forth, and McGregor wanting to shut him up. I think this is a situation where these two both get to go at it. So knowing that this would be a boxing match, I feel like this would be extremely, extremely lopsided unless this got into El Chino, Marcos Maidana type of fight. He roughs up Floyd and you know, gets a cut somewhere and then actually gets the game to begin. So I think that this could be extreme dominance on one side. I feel like McGregor could probably get inside and be fearless and try to go after Floyd. That would be an interesting situation. But I did want to bring this up because everybody's drawing this up. And for me, to be honest, like I said, I'm a diehard Floyd Mayweather fan, right? I am. I ain't going to lie. Y'all know me. Everybody in Sports City has talked to me on the phone. They already know. But if I'm smart, I'm not listening to a doggone Conor McGregor. I'm not listening to an Adrian Broner. And I'm actually laughing at Adrian Broner because somebody actually put an interesting post up that he continues to go out there saying AB about billions, right? He said he's about billions. Do you know what Adrian Broner's net worth is right now? His net worth. $1 million. So you mean to tell me that I'm going to risk this dude has nothing to lose to go in there and fight me, and I'm going to make his biggest payday? He win, lose, or draw. I would, there's no way. There's no way. That's why I wanted to address this, because I wish I was like the publicist or the speaker for Floyd, because it's like, man, go count $20 million. Like, go in the room and go count 20, and don't come out till you're done. I wouldn't. Not for Connor, not for Adrian, unless Floyd was sitting somewhere in the middle of Vegas and blowing cake. That's the only way I could see him fighting one of these guys. But I want to see him fighting them. I want to see him fight somebody in the welterweight class. I want to see him fight Amir Khanna, somebody, Showtime Porter or Thurman. Like, all these guys calling him out in his respective sport. I do not buy this by one bit. But Dana White, knowing that he knows Floyd Mayweather, is a cash cow. This is something to sell tickets. So I like it. I like it. It's very intriguing. So we do have the kitchen filling in as we bring up that topic first and foremost, calling in out of the coldest state in the union. We have Mr. Silver in the building. Nacho, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
It's funny as you say that. It dropped 20 degrees from that post, and it's now sprinkling rain. So I don't know what it is, but Mother Nature, go home and drunk. But I'm feeling good.
Hey, like I told you, it's the coldest state in the region, man. It dropped 20 degrees. It ain't dropped 20 degrees nowhere that I know of. You know, shoot, we flying in the 60s where I'm from. I was in the 60s.
Must be nice. It's about 55 and raining for the past 7 days, it seems like, out here.
I take that. I can deal with the rain. I ain't scared of the rain. 55, 60, I'm good. Don't turn that heat up. Don't go down. We good. I'm good. So, Nacho, I'm going to get to you. We got somebody behind you as well in the queue. Is also your thoughts as we set it off in the roundtable. I said this was an hors d'oeuvre, but I feel like this could actually end up being a big portion. But your thoughts on the news, one, that Floyd is pondering coming out of retirement, and two, McGregor Mayweather, really?
Not really. Number one, the whole thing is a tabloid story that's been overblown, grabbed by a source that is really, really relevant in the boxing world and in the fighting world, and was able to put it up. To me, this is much ado about nothing. The split is ridiculous. You're talking about a man getting over $120 million and a man barely making 10 to 14 when we saw Manny Pacquiao walk away with $120, $140 million while Mr. Floyd walked away with you know, $400, $500 million. So I don't know if the money seems to be correct. I mean, if we're talking a mega fight and we're talking, you know, two of the biggest sports stars in their respective sports going at it, in a clash of you know, MMA versus boxing, $500 million, you know, a slap in the bank. You're getting boxing and MMA and both of their fans, and everyone who has essentially wanted to leave both of those organizations or both of those sports to come back and watch this. To me, this fight screams, you know, everything north of $500 million as it pertains to revenue and splitting money. So the money that they're talking about is too small. As much as $100 million or $14 million sounds to us, people who would love to see that, that's small for these two guys as it pertains to the boxing world. And if it's going to be a boxing fight, there's not enough money being talked about. Secondly, the Dana White situation, Dana White has already came out and vehemently denied this. He said that there's no way that there's this fight going down or as McGregor and Mayweather had any kind of talk. So he's shooting it down from the get-go. There's another man on Twitter who I believe is in the Mayweather camp who is shooting this down as well, calling it nothing else but a tabloid story. To me, this is very much Connor doing what he does. He wants to get under the skin of Dana White. He wants to get under the skin of the UFC. He wants back in 200. There's no other way to go about this than to fix a solution and make up some story, give it a little bit of cred, have a major you know, publication come out and keep it going. So to me, this whole thing is quite funny. Like you said, you laughed at it. We can respectably say that in the octagon, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that Connor beats the living hell out of him. And we could say in a boxing ring, there's no way that Floyd lets him get close enough to even tag him. The skill level for each of their sports is different, and they are at the top of their levels when it comes to their skill. So twitching them into either a squared circle or the octagon, to me, is devalues both of these guys because, to me, they're both – either one's going to lose in the other person's sport. It really just keeps going in circle and circle. You know, we put them in there, then this happens, put them in there. It really boils down to the fact that Conor really wants back in 200. The only way you get underneath Dana White's skin is for something like this to come up. There would be nothing surprising more by the end of the weekend if we don't see Conor McGregor in a fight at UFC 200.
Well, that's not happening. He's not getting in 200. So if that's his plan, he might as well forget about it. He blew his chance for being a jackass that didn't want to try.
That's what you say. Money's louder than whatever kind of emotional or physical or whatever he did or cowardice. Money speaks louder than anything. Dana White's got very few cash cows right now. So 200 is supposed to be the spectacle it's supposed to be. Conor McGregor better be fighting in there. I mean, that's just how it is, plain and simple.
It's not happening. We've got the light heavyweight title up for Val. You've got who knows what else. If he lets him back into that after saying he wants it to be on the card, I've lost all respect for Dana White.
I've already done that because he'll already be on there. I hate to break it to you, Tommy, but that's what Dana White is. He's got no backbone. He's yellow, and he realizes the fact that, you know, Conor McGregor runs him like a puppet. So, this is all fun right now, and we got some more pay-per-views coming up before anything happens. We also got, Mr. Rumble Johnson's got a bout against Glover Teixeira. I'm really excited about that. So there's some things that we need to see unfold that I could definitely, you know, to me, you're right. He lets him back in. You know, everything I've been saying about Dan is true, and I've lost all respect for the man. But to me, it seems as if that's the way it's going.
Okay, calling out of that Virginia region, we have Mr. Simmons in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
Yo, what up, man? I don't know what you're talking about, Tommy Beans. It's damn near 50 degrees out here, and it's been raining for the past week and a half. Yo, this rain is in the way. It's in the way. But what I'm going to say is this, because I was actually one of the cats that posted this on social media, kind of got into a back and forth with another friend of mine about the situation, and the more I think about it, the more I actually agree with what my man Nacho had to say. You know, Conor McGregor, you know, is UFC right now. I mean, him and John Jones are UFC. You know what I'm saying? So what more does Conor McGregor need to do to kind of, you know, flip the bird to the UFC? And Dana White is trying to, you know, go around him and get the payday that Dana White was never going to afford him and never going to award him. Let's keep it 100. The only reason why this is getting any type of play is because it's Floyd Mayweather. You know, the war of words is well documented. The fact that, you know, both men, you know, don't really care about each other. The fact that both men would love the opportunity, whether it's in the octagon, whether it's in the ring, regardless, to get their hands on one another. The fact of the matter is, I'm starting to believe more what Nacho's saying, and this is a big ploy to get back on 200. Now, I will agree with what Tommy Beans had to say, is saying the fact that I doubt very seriously that, you know, Dana White loses all sack that he has and puts him back in 200. But this is exactly what this is. You know, again, if I'm Floyd, I'm just like, yo, dude, how many more millionaires is my name going to make these men? You know, let's keep it 100. Manny Pacquiao was doing all right, but he got a huge-ass payday off that fight, and all they did was hug in the ring. You know what I'm saying? Adrian Broner, you know, actually came, in my opinion, if I remember correctly, from the, you know, money team camp. You know, and now he's trying to go at, you know, Floyd to catch a payday. And again, I looked at the man's network just like you did. So the man can barely buy soup. So at the end of the day, Chats is honestly trying to, you know, cash checks and Bob Benzis off the money team, and that's all there is to it.
he's hilarious. That was very funny. I wasn't expecting that one. But here's the, okay. And I like that Zerius put that twist to it. And I know I may piss people off that checked us out on this one. But it's like, Dana White, you have your own fighting venue or you know, self-defense. I don't even care how they address it. And you continue to go to the other fighting venue to use their biggest name as a piece to try and build things up. Like Ronda Rousey and Floyd, like that makes sense. And we're living in a world of 2014 to 2016 where domestic violence is the biggest thing out right now. You want Floyd and Ronda Rousey to fight. Then Ronda lose her fight, and then it's like, oh, we'll put that under the rug. I don't know what's going to happen with Ronda, but Floyd keeps doing his thing. Now all of a sudden, Conor McGregor lose. He needs something to build himself back up. So why not go after Floyd? Or at least throw that name in the spectacle, because if Conor get back in the octagon, he wins the next fight, everybody going to be on the edge of their seat waiting to hear what Conor going to say next. Because you know Conor talks junk to everybody. To me, I remember when he was calling out Cowboy, calling out Cerrone, and talk about he would fight Cerrone. I wanted Cowboy to fight Conor McGregor so bad, but it's like, once he lost to Nate Diaz, I mean, now it's like, is he going to fight? You know what I'm saying? Like, is that going to happen? So, I don't know, this is like everybody's been actually announcing. Is this a big ploy to help build Conor McGregor back up or get people to come back to the UFC and throw money to him? Whatever situation is thrown out there, I definitely agree with everybody on what's been said right now, but enough is enough. Like, Adrian Broner, Conor McGregor, and I'm addressing you two because you two are the guys that continually say the name of this guy while he's supposed to be retired. He's supposed to be chilling. How about this, Conor McGregor? Why don't you fight Diaz? Or why don't you fight, since my brother here, Tommy B, likes to throw that out there, why don't you go fight Frankie? You know what I'm saying? Why don't you fight people that are relevant in your form? And Adrian Broner, how about this? Because I actually put a post up yesterday about the same situation. You worried about what Floyd's saying to the media, which is true, what he's saying about you. Why don't you go out there and fight Mike Donner after Mike Donner dropped you twice? Or why don't you go out there and fight Porter after Porter had you ducking and dodging? Ducking and dodging, and his father called you a punk in your face. In your face. Stop it, man.
Because there's no money in those fights. Come on, now.
Hey. Him and Porter, something got to give. Something got to give. He got to go to Mike Donner.
I understand, but if you're accusing Broner of reaching for money, why would he go after two guys that will not even give him a two quarters to rub against if he fights him? That's the whole point. You can't sit there and call a man that he says all he wants is money and then say, why don't you go fight two guys that aren't going to give you no money? That's what I'm saying. If all he wants is money, that's why he's going after the Floyd Mayweathers of the world, the guys who can bring a big paycheck. That's why he's not going after Mike Donner. That's why he's not going after Porter, because those are going to be PBC fights for free on NBC.
What I'm saying is, if these two dudes beat you, you're not even trying to avenge that. Look, everybody can go up there and play baseball, stand at the plate, and swing for the fifth. Everybody. I can tell if it was Randy Johnson throwing 100, even though it'd be tough as hell. If Randy Johnson was sitting up there throwing that 105-mile-an-hour smoking fastball, I mean, it'd be tough. But if you swing at the pitcher and you make contact, you got a shot to get it out the park. Look, Floyd's the biggest, toughest. You got a shot in my ball. Look, that's what everybody is aiming for to do with Floyd. Now, Porter, I'm not going to lie. Porter made Adrian Broner look bad. Broner was going back fighting. Like, we talk about Triple G fighting tomato cans. Triple G at least undefeated fighting tomato cans. We had Broner fighting dudes that we didn't even know of. Like really? Like stop. And then all of a sudden, after he fought Mike Donner, he fought Porter. In that situation, I think he needs to avenge himself in that before he starts trying to climb up the ladder, going above everybody, or fight Keith Woods, Tom Thurman. Why don't you fight Thurman? Thurman is the number. You know what I'm saying? Or Amir Khan. There's names. Kell Brook. There's names in your weight class. Believe that. Or just like Tommy loves to dress. What's up with Frankie? Why don't you fight Frank? Or what happened with the situation? Why aren't you making a big stink in front of the media about you fighting Diaz? Getting a rematch after you was like, he could come to the scale however he wanted to weigh. And then all of a sudden, he was overweight compared to me. Stop, dog. Stop. I'm not buying that. Not one bit. I'm not.
Yeah, but you have to realize that, you know, we could sit there and I could say, you know, no matter what, bring what you got as big as you are. But we still know the laws are still there. The bigger man is going to be more powerful
and he's going to be able to take punches because he's been taking. So, I mean, you could say all you want that you're going to do this and do that, but we all know that the law is still the law. What you say doesn't change the fact of weight differential and things of that nature. So, personally, yes, Conor McGregor, you're a dumbass for going out there and saying the things that you said. But there is some validity in what he's saying about the weight differential and the fight night between him and Diaz. So let's not take, you know, out of context. I understand because the way Gregor went out and did his thing and was calling everyone out, that's a personal issue. But the fact still remains. The fight was, we could see from a mile away that these two were unequivocally not matched up correctly. Height, size, weight, reach, everything. Diaz had it. So in this sport where you can do everything and grapple and all that other stuff, it makes a huge difference.
McGregor wore himself out. That's why he lost.
Yeah, he kept punching him in the face and it didn't hurt.
And wore himself out. And like Diaz said, he did exactly what I thought he'd do. That's why Diaz said, I saved myself, because I knew he'd wear his ass out.
Mm-hmm. He kept throwing punches and connecting and throwing punches and connecting, but they never did any damage except for cuts and some bleeding and some bumps. But they never did no real damage as to Diaz or confused Diaz, which I don't think Conor was even expecting to happen, because you seen when he was tagging him the entire fight. It wasn't as if Conor was not doing anything. It's the fact that there was no real power behind those punches to do any damage other than a couple cuts and some bumps.
What I don't understand is why McGregor's sitting there calling out John Jones and Cormier now. Nobody wants to see them two fight. Nobody wants to see them. Everybody wants to see me. Personally, I want to see that fight because I can't wait till John Jones knocks that fat ass out again. McGregor, if you want to keep running your mouth, go up another weight class. Get an octagon with Jones, and he'll do the same damn thing to you. Keep your damn mouth shut.
That's the point, though, Tommy. We all know John Jones is going to wipe the floor with Cormier. That's where most of us, again, we want to see that fight because we know Cormier deserves everything that's going to be coming to him. With McGregor, that's what he's saying. He just took an L, still has a belt. People still want to see him. That he's not wrong, but the fact of the matter is he's going about it the wrong way.
Okay. Fair enough. Anything else before we get away from it? Because I swore I said this would be a damn snack, and these dudes come and eat, man. So anything else behind the McGregor Mayweather situation or the rumblings? I'll say the rumblings before we get moving from it. Okay. Fair enough. I had a situation, and I wanted to throw it to Nacho, but he's not here. Tommy, you are right there in the Metro. I'm going to try to wait until he gets back, but I'm going to ask you first. You are there in the Metro. The tight end, Jordan Reed, signed a 5-year deal with the Redskins for $50 million. Your thoughts on this situation? Now, granted, the Redskins got to the postseason last year. Reed had some promising plays, if you will, within the season last year. But there have been times in the midst of a game that he falls asleep, or, you know, you don't really hear about him unless it's a game where he could dominate the other guy that's defending him. Your thoughts on this situation as the Redskins are putting together a very interesting offensive attack? I mean, right now, you got Deshaun. I think more or less they need to concentrate on what's coming out of the backfield now that they lost Alfred Morris. But now you got Dotson, you got Reed locked up as well. I think there's a lot of big questions that are going to be in front of a guy like Kirk Cousins. But with Reed actually signing this deal, your thoughts on a 5-year for $50 million type of deal for a guy like Jordan Reed at the tight end position?
I mean, Washington's got some weapons. They got the Dotson kid. They got Reed. I believe they signed Vernon Davis. Deshaun, do I think he deserves it? No. But why are you paying a tight end that much?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that more than Gronk gets paid? boxes. He's one of the highest paid. Now, Jordan Reed's one of the highest paid tight ends, right?
Right.
Well, he better back it up. And he better have more touchdowns than Gronk. He better have more yardage than Gronk. He better have – he better ball out. And guess what? That's not going to happen. Because you don't have a quarterback in Washington. I hate to break the news for you. Cousins is not the answer. So you all can pay these players all you want. All he's doing is collecting a paycheck from the owners, from the organization. Because he ain't going to do nothing. He'll have some good numbers, but he won't have Gronk's numbers. He won't have Olsen's numbers. He won't have Rams numbers. All three of them will have a better numbers than he has. So it's once again Washington going out blowing money like they always do.
Two of those tight ends of which from South Beach that I know very well. I know them.
Yeah,
well.
I know two of them real well too. Like real well.
Yeah, Jimmy and Gregory. I had not to come back. He fell back out. I'm hoping I can get him back in here on this conversation. But that, to me, like I said, I like their passing attack, and I actually forgot one of the guys that I'm overlooking, and he's actually one of my favorites in their aerial attack, and Pierre Garçon also. So, like I said, if they are successful, and I'm not already shooing them into winning the NFC East because I feel like we got a long way to go. I think Dallas may be probably the forefront leader, but the Giants have put themselves back in this discussion as well. But I think it could definitely be a hell of a situation out there in the NFC East. I look at this situation, Philadelphia definitely being the bottom feeder in this situation. Okay, we do have Mr. Silver back in the building. Nacho, your thoughts on the Jordan Reed deal, a 5-year for $50 million extension with him to stay with the Redskins.
For the player, it's great. I mean, Jordan Reed's one of the best tight ends, I believe, in the league. I mean, in the pass catching, you know, I'm not so keen on if he's one of the great best blockers. I haven't done too much reading on him. But we see it week in and week out, his pass catching ability to you know, open that middle for the Redskins. The problem for me and you talking about the Redskins offense, this to me is similar to what Chicago had a few years ago when they had Matt Forte. They had Alshon Jeffrey. They had Brandon Marshall. The one key problem was, you know it, I know it, everyone else knows it, Jay Cutler. Washington Redskins' problem, Kirk Cousins. Until they get a better quarterback, until they get a quarterback in there that can actually win a game against a team that has a winning record, then this offense can be something. But they do have talent at all except the quarterback position when it pertains to their skill position in the offense, to me. So I think this is a team that, you know, is lacking one big thing, and that is the quarterback.
We need a running back, too.
Yeah, that offensive line, though, will be able to help out a running back. So as long as they can get someone in there that is, you know, we could say mediocre, but as is an average to – I mean, Alfred Morris, we talk about him, but he wasn't the best running back ever. He was good behind a good O-line. Now he's good behind a great O-line in Dallas, so he'll do better. So I think with the Washington, they should be okay when it comes to running back. You're right, they need someone, but I think they should be okay there. But their main problem is quarterback.
You like that, don't you? You like that, don't you? Hey, I have to. I didn't get to get one of them. Since he won his little game, and he was running at the cameraman talking junk, I had to get that out there. But Kirk Cousins, I'm going to say this. They sent RG3 packets to them to Ohio. If you don't do nothing with these weapons, especially Jordan Reed, because like I said, there's times in the game that Jordan Reed does fall asleep, and he ends up being a scapegoat on where he disappeared to. But Kirk, if you don't get this done with a 6'4 dude that I was screaming for, like, I was screaming for Joshua Doctson. Listen, if you were sitting by me, then I was here doing a show, but I was watching the draft as it went on. I was pissed off watching Doctson put on that maroon and gold, and all I could think about was my doggone father, because my father was a diehard Redskins fan. And I'm like, this dude got the monster I wanted. So looking at the piece that you got, if you can't be 8-8, I'm going to say 8-8. After you just went 9-7, we have issues. I will be burning the cousin pot up. Do you hear me? Right now, I'm going to leave that in the freezer until the fall, until the best
they finish. They will finish second or third in this division.
And Ty, real quick, you mentioned about who, you know, the Giants have a tremendous spot to win. Everyone in this division has a chance to win it.
Not the Eagles.
Yeah, they do. The way this division is, Giants have five wins week 10. Giants had five wins week 10, and they were still in the hunt for this division.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you get on a streak of four or five, you know, three or four games, in the end of the season, you could win this division almost no matter where you're at, one through four.
With what quarterback in Philadelphia?
Anyone. Do you see the rest of their division? They're not good. So, like I said, I'm not saying they have the best chance to win the division, but every single team has a chance in this division to win.
Yo, listen, I'm going to tell you like this, Mr. Silver. You better hope Jerry Jones will come in Sports City talking about put respect on his Cowboys name. That's all I'm going to tell you. Okay? I do not. Don't laugh like that, Tommy. I'm a good one. Don't laugh like that. Stop. Don't laugh like that. That was good. Don't make me laugh like that. Okay. But like I was saying, man, I still feel like Odell Beckham and company are a threat. The Redskins, they're trying to build on stuff. I mean, they got Josh Norman there, too. That's an interesting team right now with the Redskins. I think that they look more or less with that backfield, quarterback and running back position. But still, yeah, I feel like the Eagles will bring up the rear. I feel like this is a juggle situation, but right now, forefront leader. Put some respect on the Cowboys' name right now. Especially while they're healthy. Look. And I know people will come to the kitchen and be like, Ty, why you keep doing that? Like, why you keep doing this? Look, Romo and Bryant, if them dudes get to put it together the right way, that's a problem. And Romo don't
ever
clear. And
they got two running backs.
Three running backs. They got three. Don't forget DMC. You can't forget DMC running 4-3. Even though DMC had real problems, okay, 4-4. That's a problem. That's a problem. Look, right now, look, they already got Jerry Jones talking about the kid out of Notre Dame, Jaylon Smith, right? That's the guy's name? That came out of Notre Dame? He's already pegging the Cowboys to get him to play by playoff time. He's already saying the Cowboys are getting to the playoffs this year. Already. It's May. We ain't even in June, July. It's the beginning of May. He already looking at that picture painted already. I'm just saying. And everybody know that, you know, people are going to be hopeful. But as long as they can keep Romo upright, as long as that offensive line stay legit and healthy, this is going to be a tough battle. I ain't even going to start trying to call out who I like to win the division already. I got time. I got at least till August before I start jumping the gun. I got at least till August, man. These dudes going to get me started. Okay. Anything that you guys want to touch on before I continue? Because I don't want to steal the show and throw everything out.
Go ahead. Because what I bring up, go ahead, Todd, spin his head.
Come on, I'm ready.
Sorry. Come on. Go ahead, Tommy.
There's reports coming out that the San Antonio Spurs will be one of the teams after Kevin Durant. They will be on the market. I'm telling you right now, if this happens, watch out what. I'm just saying.
And you said watch out for what?
The West. Because that West will run right through San Antonio.
Okay. Nasa, your thoughts before I actually have to deal with this dish right here. knowing that this is the, how do I say it, like the, you know, the appetizer situation before people get to the Kevin Durant entree and get ready to eat that all up as we approach July, your thoughts is every team is, well, every team that needs a three, throw their name in the hat in the Kevin Durant sweepstakes.
Reports are the Suns are looking for a three and they need Kevin Durant, and the Lakers and the Sacramento Kings and every team in the NBA wants Kevin Durant, regardless if they have a three or not. I mean, it doesn't matter. This guy is going to be coveted. He's going to be well sought after, and there's going to be too many teams that want to get him. The problem is he's staying at home. I'm not going to take too long on this. The reports are the reports. To kind of get some stir going, you know, people and they need to talk about one of the biggest free agents that won't hit the market, because once it becomes official that he's staying in Oklahoma, there will be nothing else to talk about come the rest of the summer. So, and to me, it's just a much ado about nothing. They keep trying to bring up new teams and fantasize about what would it look like if this guy was on this team and this guy was on that team, yada, yada, yada. So, to me, he's staying in Oklahoma. There's nothing that could that anyone right now could tell me otherwise, because there's no way that in the middle of playing the San Antonio Spurs you can get Kevin Durant to talk about anything about going anywhere. And you mean to tell me that in the middle of playing the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Spurs are really contemplating on picking up one of their players right now when they just lost the game? No, I don't really buy too much into this right now. So I'll let it fly over my head until, you know, the season is over.
Nacho, I respect that 100%. It's like every game that's won, every game that's lost, as the series move on, every single breath this dude takes, oh, what's going on with Kevin Durant? What team is he going to sign with? Is he going to go back to D.C.? Is he going to stay in Oklahoma City? Is he going to go to L.A.? Is he going to go to D.C.? Like, enough, man. Enough. This dude is still in the middle of a playoff run. In the middle of a playoff run, and the team that they're trying to throw at him is a team that he's playing against. Like, how sour would that be? And not to say, like, Kevin Durant can't make up his mind to do that, but how sour would that be? You sit up there and lose to the Spurs and then just go jump the ship and deal with them as one of them or a few of them retire. Like, you didn't see LeBron James go to Boston when the Celtics was beating him while he was in Cleveland. He went to South Beach. He went to Miami and joined up with Bosh and Wade. That was something that they had off the floor in a conversation and trying to join up, take play cuts, things of that nature. It's not like, oh, well, we can't beat the Spurs. They beat the Spurs before. They're beating them. Like enough. Oh, no, no, it's hilarious that every move that he makes, like, I don't think Kevin Durant could use the bathroom without hearing that. I really don't. It's enough. But, Tommy, I know that this is something that you put together. Your thoughts on this, like, I mean, do you feel like this is extremely valuable that, you know, Oklahoma City needs to pay attention to this, or Durant needs to pay attention to this, or do you think this is just one of these social medias or you know, social networks trying to, you know, give people something to think about?
I don't think he's going to San Antonio. I told you the teams I thought he was going to go to. He's staying. He's coming home to D.C. And I thought of Boston. I'm going to take him off. I'm going to give you another team, Miami. For some reason, I think this could be Wade's last year. So, if Wade opts out, moves somewhere else, that means you can move Dame or Joe down to the two position. There's a spot, and then you could bring one or the other off the bench, and there you go. Then you move, so say you move Joe down to the two. You got Durant, and then you could bring Dame and put him behind Joe or behind KD. I really think, watch and see. You heard it here first. Those are the three top teams I see him going to. He's not going to L.A. Why would he want to go there and play? Why? unless they've got some money that we don't know about, and they're throwing it out and getting some other pieces.
Let's not forget the one big thing or one word when we talk about millionaires, multimillionaires, you know, five-letter word begins with T and ends with S, taxes. You go to San Antonio, you won't pay taxes. You go to L.A., you're paying a boatload. You go to Miami, you're not paying any. So that's a one big thing, a major thing when we even talked about the NFL, even the Dominican Sue, J.J. Watt, things of that nature. When people are going to sign the biggest contract of their lives, and we're looking at a guy who's going to be probably in the hundreds of millions of dollars, one of the things that does come into your mind is the taxes you will pay on that, along with other things, where you're playing, who you're playing with, and things of that nature. But that is a huge factor. That's why L.A. for me, for a lot of players, is out of the picture unless, you know, it's a lucrative deal, you know, that they can get, you know, front loader or however they fix it. But L.A. is such a hard spot for me to put big name guys just because of the taxes that they pay out there. It's astronomical.
Okay, fair enough. Nacho, I know that there was a topic you wanted to get to before Tommy threw that one out there. Your thoughts have added as we sit around the round table.
Yeah, it's more or less for you two guys because, you know, Wednesday I wasn't able to hear. I don't believe you guys had a baseball show, but, you know, Todd being a Lions fan, me being a Packers fan, you know, we don't really like talking about this city, but as it pertains to baseball right now, it's the hottest thing popping. I think you all know where I'm going with this. Chicago White Sox and Chicago Cubs, you know, respectively dominating the leagues that they're in. They have respectively, you know, they have the two of the best pitchers right now pitching, you know. And my question is, I know it's, you know, beginning of May, but if we're going to sit here and look at these two teams in Chicago and hop in the DeLorean, gun it to 88, and flash forward to October, who's still leading their league? Is it Chicago White Sox in the AL or Chicago Cubs in the NL?
Now, it's interesting that you bring up Chicago, right? Because, one, the Cubs are playing the Nationals, right? And, two, the White Sox are playing the Twins. Tommy, you want to jump this dude, man? Tommy, you want to go get it?
I'm going with the Cubs.
You going with the Cubs?
I'm going with the Cubs. I still don't trust the White Sox. How many times have they led this division and took a nosedive? How many times they have led the Central going into July after the All-Star break, and then it hits August, the home stretch, and they take a nosedive? Now, I will say this. They have shocked me. I don't know what's wrong with Kansas City. I mean, my Nationals went in there and pretty much took care of them. They showed me something. One time, one cough out, show me something to show me state. Yeah, well, the Nationals showed me something. It wouldn't have been for Jonathan Papelbon, we'd have swept that state. But let's not go there. Let's get back to topic. I trust the Cubs. They have the pitching staff from 1 to 5. They have the batting order from 1 to 9. I do want to pay attention when they do meet up in the interleague. And I'm hoping Arrieta and Sale match up against each other.
Look, right now I feel in the National League, the Cubs are probably one of the hottest teams in the league. I don't want to just say D, but they can be put in that conversation. In the American League, like I said, I don't feel comfortable talking about the White Sox, especially when my boy is playing them, but they are playing some outstanding ball. And this is outside of LaRoche actually hanging them cleats up. This is outside of their youngin' and Abreu being in his second year, and they are actually putting it together. They actually were, what, they're 10 years removed from getting their World Series championship, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was 2007 they brought that thing back to Chicago. So Chicago is the Major League Baseball, you know, center of attraction right now. I mean, both teams are getting it done, whether it's on the north side or the south side of Chicago. They are getting it done. Now, I don't know if this actually helps them keep their streets clean, so on and so forth, but, hey, this is something that they can bounce off of, and hopefully the rest of the community actually follows. But I had to get that out there, or at least let the fellas try to dive into that dish as we move forward, especially in the respected National League as of now also. But I'm not buying that White Sox crap at all, even though my boys are thinking like a Lincoln. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Okay.
And I want to know where the real Max Scherzer's at. Can he please show up, please? Because the Max Scherzer that's pitching now is not the same Max Scherzer. So can the real Max Scherzer please stand up? Please?
I mean, that's what a couple million dollars do to you, man. You lose that luster, man. You spend about more than three or four of them in a year. That lazy boy mode get into him. At least that's what I'm looking for.
Look at that
Zach Greinke. Right. And not to say that, man, Zach ain't actually pitching that knockout, drag him off baseball down there in Arizona, man. That boy had a son, and he counted money, man. That's what you call content.
It's not even, and I hate to change subjects, but I believe if you look at his wins, the offense was cranking that day, and he still let up runs, but the offense was just on a roll. That's the only way we got wins, with him on the mound. So you're right, man. Some people get that money, you know, got a family, and they sit back. Maybe he reads an article or a teammate gets under his, you know, I'm going to say, gets under his ass and lights a fire, but something needs to happen to Zach Greinke and guys like that.
I doubt it. Because he just got there. He's the new man on campus, and he's the big man on campus at that with the money that he just signed. So I don't know. You might be right. It might be somebody that'd be like, I don't care what they say. I'm going to still talk my junk to him. Or then again, like, we have to keep him comfortable so we can actually get over the hump with a guy like Greinke. Like I said,
I can't wait till Sunday.
And why can't you wait for Sunday?
Nationals face Arrieta, and I hope and pray he's ready.
I hope y'all ready.
Because I believe Stephen Strasburg's pitch, it's Gio. I'm not sure how they're broken it down because it seems that Dusty keeps flip-flopping it. I'm not sure if Gio pitches tomorrow or if he's saving him and pitching Strasburg on against Arrieta. But Sunday's going to be – that'll be the show. That'll be – something I can't wait to see.
Yeah, that'll be a good game.
In the words of Mr. Silva, I hope y'all are ready. I hope y'all are ready, too. Y'all better check that boy bag, whatever he brings.
Yeah, you better make sure watch, because MLB is supposed to be breaking. I broke it to Utah. MLB is breaking news of more PEDs. He better hope he's not on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because if he is, you know who broke it first.
Hey, like I said, as for now, I feel good for Jake, even though, like I said, he won one of them games that looked like Draco coming off the bump. But I hope the Nationals are ready. I hope they're ready. The Cubs already stole one in the series already, you know. They just stole the first game out of the series.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's not their fault. That's not their fault. Because this isn't the same Matt Scherzer that pitched last year at all.
Tommy, that's not their fault, though, Tommy. That's not their fault that you know, things are falling apart for you guys. You know what I'm saying? They came out, played big ball. They won 8-6 out the gate, you know. So hopefully you guys can turn around tomorrow and Sunday. Hopefully. But like I said, if y'all don't get it tomorrow, I hope y'all are ready Sunday. Because Jake is mowing dudes down. He's mowing dudes down.
No joke.
Okay, like I said, this is a Game 3 kind of Friday in which both the Cleveland Cavaliers are playing in Atlanta right now, and the Spurs are going to Oklahoma City to play the Thunder as well. The bigger Game 3 is what I want to worry about, and that is the Atlanta Hawks with the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors and the Blazers. I want to ask you two this. Out of both teams, being the Atlanta Hawks and the Blazers, which team do you think gets a win? The Blazers or the Hawks? Tommy, I'll go to you first.
I don't see Atlanta getting a game. I thought maybe they could get one in Atlanta. They're not getting one. I am not saying Portland will get a victory. I am answering the question. I trust Portland over Atlanta.
Okay, Mr. Silva, your thoughts on which one of these two teams you think could actually get a win, at least in Game 3 or within the series, or do both of these teams get swept?
Black and red. I'm riding it to the end. I can't do it now.
Here we go.
This is something I'm going to ride to the end now. Watching this Game 2 and that fourth quarter debacle, oh, my goodness. Don't let me down. Please don't let me down, Damian Lillard. Please don't let me down. I'm going Portland Trailblazers. I think they could pull out a victory. The Atlanta Hawks, that's ridiculous, man. My goodness, 25 three-pointers. I would think that, you know, you could give the Atlanta Hawks some benefit of the doubt, but, you know, Ty said it, you know, a few days ago before this started, 12-0 for Mr. LeBron James going up against the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA playoffs. Man, it's looking real bad over there for them in Atlanta. They can't get anything done. But I'm rolling with the Portland Trailblazers, and again, man, that was a great game to watch if you're just an NBA fan. But I know Portland Trailblazers fans are picking up the pieces of their heart, trying to put it back together for this Game 3. But, yeah, I got to believe that Damian Lillard at home can get the job done. And I'm glad you stuck away from Tommy's favorite team, Miami.
Well, no. I don't want to pick on Tommy because he called sweep, and I'm leaving that alone, man. Like I said,
hey,
now, you
20
make...
turnovers, and they still should have won the game.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
Miami will not lose another game in this series. Cleveland, get ready because you're coming to Southeast, and Dwayne Wade and them boys will be waiting.
I got to play Game 3 first, brother.
There's no way. That game should have never been that bad. Miami had 20 turnovers. They still should have won the game.
But they didn't. So we'll see in Game 3.
I'm telling you about Charlotte now. Miami will beat them badly in South Beach.
Peace, World City, I swear I didn't start this. I didn't do this at all. I was chilling and minding my business. I swear I was. But if y'all leave
Lowry,
it with Mr. Silver.
And then with what? Shot horrible. Go ahead and shoot horrible in Southeast to see if you don't get your ass ran off the building. You might as well pack your bag and that story ass R&B rapper or whatever the hell he is, Drake, and pack his ass up and do time to go support some other team.
You could shoot bad when you force 20 turnovers.
Sports City, y'all hear it's not me, right? I swear, I'm not starting no trouble today. I swear, I'm being humble. I'm chilling. Karma, I swear, I don't have nothing to do with this. All I'm doing is putting dishes out. That's all I know how to do is cook. That's it. That's all I know how to do, man. But you leave it to Mr. Silver. He's going to try to start up some doggone dog fight here. Look, I'm chilling. Now, I don't know what it's going to take for Atlanta to get back into this situation because this is critical to, one, why J.R. Smith get completely hot, and two, having guys like Richard Jefferson, Mo Williams, and the rest of the team get involved in knocking down shots, you guys can't defend the perimeter. What the hell are you guys going to do? What are you going to do? Especially when you guys overextend yourself and LeBron is just running to the lane. Who's going to jump with him, Al Horford or Millsap? Pick one. Atlanta's in deep trouble. They're in deep trouble. And Portland, if you guys don't win this Game 3 right now, I'm actually punching my desk right now. If you guys don't win Game 3, good night. It's over with. It's all she wrote. That's all I have. But we are here at the end of the show. I do want everybody to get out there and get their respected, you know, Fridays going. I had a slogan that I was going to throw out there for Atlanta, but I felt like, you know, it wasn't right. I'm going to do it anyway. So since it's Friday, you know, and one of my favorite movies, because I'm funny. I like to laugh. I like to crack jokes. There was a song by Mary J. Blige and Wyclef Jean, and it was used in the movie Friday After Next when Day-Day said, "Someone please call 911. Jesus are in trouble. Will somebody better go call somebody, man? They better call them people, man. They better call them people. Okay. let me get a plug because I was trying to swear that I wasn't going to crack those jokes, but I swear I'll take it back. So please don't bother me, man. I'm all right. I had to get a laugh, man. All right. I need plug to close out for the two of you. I'll start with you first, Mr. Silva. I need a plug, close out, anything that you'd like to promote if we shut it down. Here's the round table.
Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Canelo Con, tomorrow night. Catch it. Buy it.
Whoa. See, he like doing that. Sports City, I swear I be asking him. I swear, y'all hear me, man. I swear, Sports City, if y'all don't hear me, y'all can come talk to me or send me an email, sportscityf@gmail.com. I swear I be asking this dude or both of them or whoever comes to the kitchen what they want to talk about, man. I don't like soaking up the time. I want them to talk. And then at the end of the show, it's like, oh, this one they ain't hit on. Okay, so who do you like in a fight? Do you like the guy with the... Do you like the guy from your country, or are you going with England?
Well, neither of these guys are from my country because I'm American. But the thing about it is I'm going to go with Canelo. I believe that Canelo is the bigger, the stronger, and the more aggressive, along with he's got a little bit more than people think he's got in the tank as it pertains to his arsenal. So when I'm going to go in right here, I'm going to go all in. This is a TKO on Khan. Khan, like I said before, Khan's got the loose neck and the jagged jaw. He will get caught and he will get connected and go night-night. So to me, this is all when and where. Like I said the other day, sixth round. This could be anywhere, you know, to be honest, no lie, from round one to round 10 or 11. This goes into round 12, I don't believe so, but anywhere from 1 to 11, I could see Khan getting slept. I just feel that Canelo, not only being able to work the ring very well, like I've seen him do in his past three fights, but the power comes with it and the aggressiveness, the ability to change with the boxer he's fighting. The Iris, like I said, I always go back to the Laura fight, and then you go to the Angulo fight. The two different style fighters. He changes both styles. He changes the style in both fights. Wins one by decision and wins one by a TKO. Canelo is just on another level right now as it pertains to what he's doing. And I think Khan, as good as he is no bum. He is no pushover. He is no tomato can. Don't get it twisted. I'm not talking bad about Khan. I'm talking really great about Canelo. I think Canelo wins this fight, and it'll be a great fight to watch, you know, unless it goes to one. But it should be a great fight to watch nonetheless.
Okay. We got love for Canelo. Look, this is one thing I fear, man. Canelo had a problem with a boxer before. That's all I'm saying. He had a problem with a boxer before, man. I'm just hoping Amir don't get caught. If Amir get caught, then we already know how that chin is. That chin didn't look good against Danny. If Danny Garcia could lay him down, listen, he got to stay out of harm's way. That's for sure. Yeah, I know. Okay, Tommy, I need a plug close out. Who do you like in the fight tomorrow, if you care? Because I know he doesn't like boxing. But if you want to pull one out, you can. Plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as well.
Yeah, good show. Miami will win tomorrow night, guaranteed. Nacho's just mad because Dragic is down South Beach hitting him game winners and shots and banging threes, not in Phoenix, where he just didn't want to lose. So, nice show. I don't care about the boxing. I'll go with whoever you pick, Ty.
Ooh, I'm going with Amir Khan. I'm going to hell,
Dragic. Well, then you put me down for him then.
No, I'm not. No, I don't want you to do that. I was just joking. Hell no. Because if Amir Khan win that fight, believe me, look, the boxing world will blow up. Wow. I don't even know how to do it, like, to be hopeful for Khan, man, because it's like Khan has shown me that he has fast hands. I like the way that he was training, so on and so forth, and calling Floyd out and things of that nature. I like the way that he was doing his thing, but this is a different beast, man. He's going to have somebody that's going to keep coming forward. If Canelo do the thing, man, this could be over soon, man. Canelo been making people do the turn away, man. So he knows the turn away is one shot. They do turn away from him, and they end up on the floor. Like, him and the Triple G got the turn away punch. Like them two dudes. Amir Khan don't want to look like that on national TV or pay-per-view TV, man. That's for sure, man. You know what? I'd be stunned if Amir Khan wins this fight. I'd be stunned, floor, edge of my seat. But if I was in Vegas, I would be going with the redhead. I'd be dealing with the redhead, that's for sure. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here Sunday with the brunch. A lot of stuff going down. I know tomorrow will be crazy. I know I'll be talking to Nacho. Sports City, stay tuned, man. We might have to do a little, food fight if you want. But me and Mr. Silver, we'll talk. Me and Mr. Silver might give y'all 60 minutes tomorrow. We might. Put the clock on, man. But if you keep acting up, throwing stuff out there, making people get all crazy in the kitchen, I don't want nothing to do with it, man. Somebody please call 911. Someone please call 911, man. If not, I'm going to have all the Silver kids put respect on my name. You feel me? On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Right. Let a smoker test your weight before you take it to the plate. Rock it down, stuff the shit in 5'8", early and not late. Don't be making no mistakes, put it out and then you bring it back straight. It's more money to make.
These bucks and full of facts, and all I need is one reason just to pull this burner, cause y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I'ma get my turn up. These bucks and full of facts, and all I need is one reason just to pull this ratchet out. Y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I'ma squeeze my cannon out.
Gunner, just another victim of the ghetto, nigga. Post and pivot and distribute the work. My pop broke his pivot, got addicted to work. Man, they say it's a shame, but as they say, it's a game. I made my way through the game. Rowdy Lord Youngin with that snotty nose youngin. Everybody Lord Youngin. The only youngin now hugging that pavement for paper. They were shoveling pavements for neighbors. I never made it to them 5-on-5. They was playing live, I was trying to stay live. Trying to stay alive. Mom's working 11:30, the curfew, I was trying to stay the 5. Hoping them quarters stay at 5 while I'm killing. They can't stop me before the day arrive. I'll be copping again. So fuck a day job while I'm dealing. They ain't stopping me straight from the center to state property.
Young Christian, full of bank, and all I need is one reason just to pull this burner, cause y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I'ma get my turn up. Young Christian, full of bank, and all I need is one reason just to pull this ratchet out. Y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be